Well, I'll say in specific terms, what needs to be done and who should be involved, ironically, with the police. Who should be involved? We might have to wait till it goes by, maybe. I don't know if it's going to come down or not. To reduce violence. What's the best way to reduce violence? Maybe, I don't know if it's going to come down the street or not.
That's fine, I think. Well, you know, first of all, when people talk about violence, that's a huge number of things.
Yeah,
I think it's going to... Do you want to wait? Well, first of all, when people refer to the word violence, that is a whole huge number of things. And so one of the categories of violence where I see the statistics, I meet with our public safety folks once a month to look at all the statistics, Commonwealth's attorney, county attorney, police, etc. So one of the categories is violent crime. That's a very specific category that includes murder, rape, arson, assault. It's a lot of things. Violent crime, statistically, by the FBI and the National Crime Statistics people, is down 2% here since last year. Now, within that category, we have homicides. Homicides now are up 2% over last year. And so, of course, any homicide is not good. But what we have seen is a third of our homicides this year are domestic violence related, specifically. We had 0 this time last year. This is a radical change. And so, to that point, what I have done is stood up a coalition of people, all of whom work in nonprofits and other entities that have to do with domestic violence. We've put this coalition together, and we are rolling out a phased approach to this that's different from what we've done before. The first phase will roll out here in a couple weeks. So that's one piece of the homicides. The next thing is One Lexington. We are seeing through One Lexington between now and last year this time, between the ages of 13 and 29, which is their demographic that One Lexington works with, the gun homicides with the 13 to 29 year olds are 50% lower than this time last year. Now, these things are all progress. And so for anybody to paint a broad picture about violence, it doesn't really tell the correct story because there's a lot of different pieces and parts. So we continue to put our resources to One Lexington. We're doing our domestic violence work. We bargained with the police, fire, corrections. We've increased police pay through bargaining. We've given them supplements. We're getting ready to go back. I've recommended to council that we give them another base to salary increase. Whether council will do that or not, we don't know yet. We are highly aware of our 89 vacancies, and we're doing a lot toward getting more people in the door and then keeping the officers who are on the street. Now, one more quick thing. So a year ago, I put into place my downtown public safety work group. It's specifically looking at the Short Street, Tandy Park, that whole area. And we've put more police in that area than we've ever had before, particularly on weekend nights, which is when a lot of the shootings used to occur. We've put big lights up. We've got meetings we've had with the bar owners, the business owners, and they're starting to see some results. Most of that kind of violence or shooting occurs well after midnight when the bars are letting out. People have had alcohol. And so those are some of the pieces and parts that we're attending to.
It's fair to say, and I know this came up during the cruiser debate about, you know, both you and David both said you need a new City Hall. You need to do something. Mm-hmm. I think my question is, what do you envision that something being? Mm-hmm.
Well, in perspective, I served on the council when Therese Isaac, Jim Newberry, Jim Gray were all mayor, and they all proposed City Halls. To my way of thinking, they always went out first with a request for proposals, and they didn't know how much space we needed. So in my budget, which I presented to council, I put in their money for a space study. And so we are now undergoing that. We have a group of people inside government who are working on the RFP we'll put out to get a consultant to study how much space we need. Once we know how much square footage we need, then we'll go out with an RFP to find out who has that amount of space and what they think their proposal could do. So we are spending a lot of money on maintenance and repairs for City Hall. The old Lafayette Hotel was never meant to be a permanent City Hall. So I'm very excited that we will get this done in my next term. It's a high priority for me.
What, are you going to build a new one?
We don't know yet. It'll depend on what people bring as an RFP. You know, I think we have seen kind of a basic proposal a couple years ago that was a renovation of the building we're in now. It could be added on to in the back with a beautiful addition to overlook the trail. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there. So we're open to anything that works.
Okay. Thirdly, it's about the staffing. And you talked about it a little bit with police, but the staffing challenges, you know, really the jail, police, E911. Do you see a time when, you know, you won't face those staffing issues? Can you ever find a time out there it's going to be, staffing won't be an issue?
Yes, I think we'll get back to the time that we had a few years ago when people want to work for government. They want to serve as public safety officers, et cetera. And, but we're just working real hard right now to do things differently. I don't know if you've seen some of the commercials. We've had some very creative commercials, and we're starting to get people into the corrections, into the jail, and that's a real tough one. We've raised their pay, and that helps. And so I do. I don't think this is permanent for the long run.
I think that, again, at some point there'll be an end to kind of the sewer work. Or is there always going to be some sewer work? I mean, you know, you'll need to do some things, but
yeah, there will be an end to the consent decree projects, and that'll be a great thing because that will mean we've rehabbed all those sewers and the manholes and everything that has helped with the stormwater, because it's been two parts. You know, we had to do $30 million for stormwater, and that's finished, and so. The thing is, we always have to have money to maintain sewers. So we can't just be done with the consent decree and wash our hands of it and say, that's it. We have to continue to maintain them. That will be less of a cost to us, but it will still be a cost.
Okay. Just a couple other things.
Yep.
As far as art, do we currently have a satisfactory art scene, as you say, as you would consider it? You know, public art, visual, theater, music. I mean, kind of where are we with art?
You know, for the size of our city, we have really great arts venues, working artists, music, LexArts, kind of overseeing the umbrella. But to my way of thinking, we need more public art because people see public art in lots of different ways and they love it. And so, couple things. The council needs to go ahead with the Percent for Art program. We already have in mind how, you know, that we will use the current funds in there. That's the Percent for Art based on our bonding, our capital bonding. And council's been a little, you know, uncertain about whether they want to do it. The public's very supportive of that. And it's not a tax to the people. It's we, you know, it's based on our bonding. So we bond that percent for art to go into art. Now, a couple other things I included in my budget. I included money for a COVID-19 piece of art for a permanent reflection and memorial for those people we lost. It's well over 600 people now in Fayette County. And then I also included money in my budget for a major piece of art that we will commission for our 250th anniversary. And that's a big deal for a city. We were founded a year before the Declaration of Independence was signed, and we need a public piece of art to celebrate that anniversary. So I'm really excited about this, and that will add two major pieces of artwork to our community.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There's ever been anyone, how am I trying to say this? Probably the most questions you've ever gotten about traffic is people are always going to complain about traffic no matter what.
Right? People always complain about traffic, and it's really interesting because people who've moved here from New York City, Chicago, LA, Atlanta, they all go, oh my gosh, your traffic here is awesome. And then people who've never lived in a big city just are not happy with it. Our traffic engineering is super good. Those folks are constantly looking at different timing on the lights, which makes a huge difference. And they're looking at different turn lane issues and that kind of thing. One of the most difficult things is that our city was built on a spoke and hub system. And that's never good to my way of thinking, because it funnels everybody down to the hub and then everybody back out again, and it's not a grid system. And for Lexington, it's too late to redo it and do a grid, because it would tear up neighborhoods and that kind of thing. So we work with our state transportation folks a lot to see what kind of projects could we do that will enhance our transportation. The big one on my list that I've been trying to get for a few years now is finishing that Newtown Pike extension. We have one piece left that will take it into UK. That will help people who want to go to UK or Broadway avoid downtown. So we were unsuccessful at getting federal and state dollars for that last go round, but we'll keep pursuing it. That's a big one. And as you know, we've looked at our transportation folks have looked at Nicholasville Road, how to make it easier to navigate, not only for vehicles, but for people who want to walk, people who want to cross the street. I've met with quite a few neighbors over there in the Rosemont Garden area and some of that neighborhood. They like medians, where they feel like they can cross safely to a median and then beyond, you know? I'm a proponent of roundabouts, because they work all over the world. And all over the world, you see them in neighborhoods where, you know, at a four-way stop, you can put a small roundabout in and it moves the traffic. And I think people here are getting used to using them. We're getting ready to put another double crossover diamond in Fayette County. That cut the crashes at the Harrodsburg Road new circle by about 60%. I mean, these are all good innovations, and I'm for it.
Where's that one going to be?
It's going to be out in the Citation Leestown area.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's already.
Well, we think it'll be funded and in the plans.
Okay.
We're hopeful.
Yeah.